Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. So glad to be having the show today. And I wanted to share, I mean, this is the month of promoting and talking about the Woman of Wisdom Conference and sharing the gifts of the many presenters that are coming. And I thought I'd share, you know, why I started this and how it came to be. And it really started back in 1992 when I read the book, The Feminine Face of God. It's by Patricia Anderson and Sherry Hopkins. And it's a wonderful compilation of stories from women from different spiritual backgrounds. And I love stories. I love books like this. And then it occurred to me like, oh, we need to bring women like these to Seattle. And then it came in a vision like, and it needs to be a conference and it needs to be a week long so we can create a community. And that's what happened. Our first conference in 1993, thinking we were only doing one conference. And the first night I stood up and said, welcome to the first annual. So spirit talks to you in funny ways and fun ways. And that was the first indicator that, oh, this is more than just a conference. It's more than just one conference. And here we are on our 24th year, which is pretty amazing. And our theme this year is United We Change the World. And that's about women uniting, coming together, and together we can make the world the way we want it to be and to know we can. And that's when we come together, we have that power to do that. And so I want you to go check out the website of all the different offerings. It's our new conference website is www.thewowconference.org. And a unique thing about our conference is you can register for individual events, so you can come the whole weekend. So at whatever level you can afford, at whatever level of time commitment you can make, you can come for an evening. We've got a fun dance called Dream Dance on Saturday night. So if you just want to dance, you can come do that. So it is February 11th through the 15th. And again, be sure to go to thewowconference.org. And today I'm talking to one of our presenters who has great stories to share is Patty Ferris. She's given a workshop on Leading with Spirit. It is Saturday, February 14th. And Patty Ferris is an inspirational speaker, soon to be published author of The Dance of Human and Spirit. And whether she's speaking on spirituality in the workplace, leading with spirit, or how to incorporate our spiritual awareness into our everyday life, Patty has a supportive and humorous way of leading others to the deep core of themselves. For the past 17 years, Patty has taught meditational and leadership classes in the Training of Power Academy and serves as a spiritual counselor. So welcome, Patty.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's been an honor to be asked to be interviewed on this program.
Well, I'm glad to have you, and I want you to tell your story, because we're really about stories. So how did you become interested in, since your topic is leadership, what draws you to work in leadership?
Well, it's interesting. I started out in school in public relations, and my brother is actually a professor in personal management. And I started to see the advancements and the focus on leadership. Over the last probably 15 years, it's been somewhat phenomenal. And seeing how leadership was getting, emulsified into personal management instead of as a part of our everyday life, because we're all leaders and we all need direction to lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And that's my saying, too. You know, there's a leader in every seat.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And if we aren't leading at that moment, we can be actually open to receiving information about how we can better lead in our world.
Well, let's talk about, because your topic is leading with spirit, you know, why now in this in this? Why is that important, you know, to bring, you know, because we all know leadership, you know, somebody who's in charge, somebody who's leading people, you know, we have politicians that are leading, CEOs, all that. But leading with spirit has a totally different connotation. So what is that and why is it important?
Yes, absolutely. It actually ties in with a new consciousness that's coming forth, and there's an elevation in vibration, actually, to the corporate world specifically, but in all realms of leadership. And it really has a lot to do with just the consciousness of companies, of organizations, and of individuals to be more aware of how they tie into the world and about how they can support our world and specifically our Earth. Just being able to have a rise in consciousness in how a company treats the Earth or how an organization, what it does to actually promote that support has been amazing. So leading with spirit then is a very timely topic. We all need to learn to do this with our spirit. We all need to learn how to tune into the spirit to find out our own qualities of leadership and be able to support those qualities in other people as well and keep this rise of consciousness in the world going.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if you could share maybe some examples of companies that are putting this out there, because our concept of corporations is that they're not very spiritual. It's money driven, you know, the profit. So what are some examples of some companies that are shifting this?
Well, my first example was one of the first companies that or corporations that actually stepped forward, and they might not have done it in the most spiritual way, but they realized that there needed to be a rise of consciousness in how they treated their employees and how they would represent their manufacturing in the world, and that is General Electric. Back 20 years ago, General Electric did a complete revamp of their whole HR program and started to bring in child care, started to support women who were single mothers or single parents. They started to incorporate leave for maternity way before anybody else. And they started somewhat of a pinnacle and an example for other corporations and companies to follow. And over the last 20 years specifically, there has been such a rise in starting to look at how they could support the employees. And frankly, in a business world, it would actually behoove them financially. Because if they were supporting the employees to go within themselves and find out those answers within themselves and be able to bring that into their job, into their career, then there was more productivity, there was less absenteeism. I could go down the whole row of things that would benefit the company just through the prospect of a happier employee and someone who was empowered to get their own knowledge.
Yeah, that's so true. If you have happy people, they're going to work better. It is going to increase your profits because people are going to be more productive if you're happy in the workplace. And a lot of places, you know, a lot of people are leaving corporations because there isn't that. It's missing. And they're going off and creating their own, you know, entrepreneur jobs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's really a big trend right now. Spirituality in the workplace is very multifaceted. I mean, we can look at the expansion of an elevation of consciousness in these companies. We can also look at how people need to find that common thread to be able to unite in a spiritual focus or a spiritual flow. So it's not one religion against the other religion.
Yeah, well, I want to talk some more about that. Well, you're listening to Voices of Women. We're going to come back and talk more with Patty Ferris. Stay tuned.
24th Annual WOW Conference, United We Change the World, is February 11th through the 15th. Featured guests are Dr. Christine Page on Creative Dragon Energy. Dr. Susan Shumsky will show you how to awaken your third eye. And Mira Kelly will present a two-day intensive workshop on Beyond Past Lives. Join WOW for intimate, experiential, life-changing workshops and evening presentations that will inspire you. You can choose two half-day workshops and receive one half-day workshop for free through December 31st. Join a supportive community of women on their journey to discover and develop their passions and purpose in life. Women of Wisdom is the place to be. This February 11th through the 15th, go to thewowconference.org. That's the W-O-W conference.org to discover all the diverse offerings WOW has to offer you.
What does it mean to be healthy? For each of us, it means something a little different. Discover the art of herbal medicine, a natural way to help our bodies respond better to the modern-day stress and toxicity of our everyday lives. Using organic herbs from around the world, the skilled herbalists at Urban Wellness in Kirkland can help you choose the herbs that are right for your body. Find your herbal solutions for common health issues at urbanwellness.com. That's H-E-R-B-A-N wellness.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
1230 WBLQ. Welcome back to Voices of Women. So I'm talking with my friend Patty Ferris. She's given a workshop called Leading with Spirit. So we've been talking about that, being leaders and leading with spirit. So Patty, to start off with, why don't you give your website information where people can find out more about you?
Oh, yes. Actually, you can go to www.trumpetblastllc.com. And this site will have all of my up-and-coming speeches and any writings that I'm doing or publications. You can also go to my site, pattyferris.com, which will support any classes I'm giving or any sort of private readings for me as a spiritual counselor.
Great. And I can attest that Patty is a great spiritual counselor. So we were talking about, you know, we were talking about spirituality and in the workplace and spirit. How do you see the difference between, because I think there's a language, sometimes it feels like you have to be careful with language and you have to couch things a certain way for when you're in the workplace. And it's now I sense that it's easier to talk about spirit and people understand that. Get into spirituality, and people start thinking you're talking about religion. So what is the difference between all that, and what is being, you know, is okay to use in the workplace that's getting more accepted?
That's a really good question. You know, about 5 years ago, there was a gentleman from the University of Denver and who wrote a book called The Handbook of Workplace Spirituality. And actually, he coined the term spirituality to keep that neutral place so that it didn't involve like organized religions or specific faiths. And somehow the religious community has come in and kind of grabbed onto that term. And so it's difficult in these days to be able to keep that different. But when I use the term spirit, I would use it representing that inner core of knowledge, that inner core of light that we have that's connected to the universe, connected to source. And if we can actually lead with the information that comes from that core, then we start to see who we really are. we start to see our strengths and where we need to improve and how we can bring more of a love tone or spirit tone into organizations, into the workplace. So I find that spirit recently has become the easiest way to keep it as a very just direct to the concept of finding that light within us.
Right, and it's something we all have. You know, it's not doesn't break it up into the differences of all the different religions.
Right.
Is, we can understand that each of us has a spirit, and it's unique too, and it doesn't have anything to do with what religion we. I mean, people might relate it to religion that they're a part of, but it broadens it. It's more inclusive. You know, that people can think of themselves, everybody.
Yes.
And you can find your commonality more than your, you know, focusing on the differences.
Exactly. And that is actually a difficulty with many companies, specifically depending on the area of the United States that they are a part of or located in. A certain predominant religion of an area might come in and try to run this whole concept of spirituality in the workplace. But that's not where the benefits to the company come. That's actually causing a problem. So part of spirituality in the workplace is actually learning how to find that common thread that everybody can grab onto.
Mm-hmm. So how do you work with people? Say I want to be a better leader, or I'm having difficulty leading in a workplace, and I want to bring in more of the spiritual aspects. What do you tell people on how to approach that?
Oh, it's hands down, you have to find the strengths of leadership within yourself. There's no way that you can actually support or guide or even hold a person in a leadership position unless you understand the strengths you have as a leader within. And so I feel that there's an incredible amount of work that we need to do in just recognizing our own strengths, recognizing our own light and our own spirit within. When we have actually grabbed on to that and found a position of truth in that, then we can actually recognize those strengths and weaknesses in the people that we are supporting to lead.
So true. Yeah, to recognize and to get away from the competition, because we all have our unique gifts.
Yeah.
And to, you know, I think the best leaders out there are the ones that uplift other leaders. And I've even heard some talk of the strengths of a leader who doesn't, you know, they're not in fear of somebody replacing them or going higher than they are. Because
yes.
There is that fear, like, oh, somebody's going to get promoted over me if I encourage people to be leaders and encourage leadership development. I'm going to be left behind. You know, that whole competitive nature.
Yeah, and the whole reason that people are competitive with one another is because there's a fear of who they are as leaders. There's a fear that they're going to make a mistake or that they're not going to listen to spirit correctly. And so there needs to be that motivation to sit back and not run out and try to lead, but just to sit back and allow the leadership qualities to come forth so you can recognize them. Then that helps alleviate some of the fear that we have around it.
Mm-hmm. And to know that everybody has their gifts, and I like the idea of co-leading, and I've, you know, created a circle leadership model, and
right.
Everyone is a leader, and everybody contributes to the leadership of an organization or a group or a circle or wherever you are, that there isn't a hierarchy of one person is the only leader in a group.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's also not supported in our Western culture to actually sit back and be quiet and allow the information to come to us. There's so much of a motivation to go out and run ahead and pull everybody behind us to lead. But what it really comes down to is just being able to allow ourselves that quiet, allow ourselves that time to really find what our strengths are. Because we, like you said, we each have different strengths. We each have different pluses in leadership, and we have to find those to be able to find them in others.
Right, and so you're talking about two things here. One is listening within to find your strengths, and you know, to stop and listen, because sometimes we're so busy yakking and talking and thinking we know it all that we miss some of that about what our strengths really are. And the other is to sit back and listen to others.
That's absolutely right. We are, again, fear enters in, and it's frightening to leave the comfort of what we have established it within as our own strengths. And it's difficult to leave that to really listen to another person, to really hear what they have to say. And I think that is probably one of the biggest problems in not only leadership, but just in organizations and corporations and companies in many different aspects, not just leading, but creating, in holding and supporting a consciousness that company is putting out there. So yes, that is absolutely imperative.
Yeah, that makes me think of one of the principles that I've learned, and there's a great book out there, The Circle Way, that we follow at Woman Wisdom. It's Christina Baldwin and Linnea's book. And there's the principles of listening with attention and speaking with intention. And so that even that speaking with intention is like really paying attention to what's needed. Are you speaking just for yourself to hear yourself speaking and be the one out there speaking all the time and getting your what you think, or being intentionally speaking for what's needed for the group now?
That's right.
And to know the difference, to have that awareness.
And
you know, we all have sat in groups where there's the one that always talks, or the loud mouth, and then the quiet ones that sit back and don't share. And so one of the principles we work with is having that quiet time allows for the quiet people to be able to speak up, or to even just say, what do other people think? Or go around the circle and have everybody share, so it's not dominated by the people who are very comfortable talking, because there are people who are comfortable talking in a group, and there's always a person, well, often, I won't say always, but often there's a person who is dominating the conversation, and you kind of want to go, okay, let's hear from somebody else.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I really feel like there are so many companies and corporations, and I'm sorry, I'm always bringing it back to more of a business aspect, but there's some great examples out there. And actually, Google takes on a very interesting way. They support people in who they are, and they are, over the last 3 or 4 years, they have started to back up from that real frenetic type of motivation to motivate their people, because they have been predominantly young. But now they're starting to finally get into the place to where they actually listen to what an individual brings forward and gives them the chance and the support to try it out. And so that's a big change in our business world as well.
Oh, yeah, to let people try things out, you know, that you learn by trial and error, and you learn from your mistakes. And a lot of times we're quick to judge, like, oh, that person's not a good leader. We can't promote that person. And yet it's taking a little bit of time to kind of watch, well, what are the gifts here? And how about mentoring that person?
Exactly. Mentoring is essential these days, especially. Because then the person who is learning has an example. They have something to see what they would like as a base form, and then be able to create their own model of leadership from that. Absolutely.
Yeah. So those that have experience in leadership, we need to step up and be mentors and grow other leaders and recognize leadership in other people. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Patty.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
Yeah. And so everybody, check out her workshop. It's called Leading with Spirit. It's Saturday, February 14th at the Women of Wisdom Conference. Just go to thewowconference.org. It's in Seattle, and Seattle's a great place to be in February. We probably don't have snow like some places in the country. So we're going to take a break now. We're going to come back, and I'm going to introduce you to another WOW presenter, Reverend Elka McCartney. on being a modern shaman, and we're going to talk about the Luna, the moon. Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and now we're speaking with Reverend Elka McCartney. She is a wise woman, a modern shaman and teacher, and for the past 33 years, she has ignited people's lives by pointing to and supporting their purpose on Earth. Elka is a master of rituals and spiritual teaching, as well as an author, a mother, wife, and an aura seer. She's given a workshop on Sunday, February 14th. It's called Luna's Embrace, Gifts of the Moon Phases. So, welcome, Elka.
Thank you very much, Chris. I just love, by the way, I just love that you're so aligned with your purpose as a teacher and a connector. I mean, I saw your aura the other day at a potluck.
You're not one to see it. You're doing the thing. So I want to first, let's talk about your background, your story. Why? How did you get interested in this work of one, shamanism, and also, I don't know if the moon is, it has to do with astrology, or, you know, what is your background in, you know, bringing the moon's gifts to us at WOW?
As far as the moon is concerned, it affects our every moment of living, and I've been fascinated with how the moon affects us as human beings and the rest of the world, the animal kingdom, and et cetera, for many, many years. But how I got into all of this, and it was, oh, gosh, I was 23 when I met my very first spiritual teacher, who happened to be a shaman from West Africa, happened to be in Chicago, and where I was living at the time. But previous to that, at 21 years old, I started to see auras, energy fields, colors flying around people after a long hiatus. I saw these things as a kid, and then, you know, nobody else was seeing it, so I guess I kind of put it on a shelf as part of my imagination, perhaps. Pretty precocious kid, very intuitive, kind of knew where people were coming from. But at 21 years old, I was watching my then husband sleeping, and I was all in love, and, you know, I saw this beautiful glow around him, and then I thought, wait a minute. He's glowing? And that began it all. I started seeing the glow or the aura or the energy around people from that moment on. And so how I got into shamanic study and studying with shamans from around the world for, gosh, a long time now, is because of that gift and not knowing how to wrangle that gift of seeing all the time this glow around people. And what that glow or that aura tells me, which is just about anything, everything, you know, from the physical health of a person to their purpose, to how their life is going. It's a lot. So the shamanic perspective really, really worked for me. All the teachers that came into my life and just kind of wandered in, I'd always have a little bit of time. They would teach me things, and then they'd wander out again. It really helped me wrangle this gift. And that's how I got into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's first talk about Luna and the gifts of the moon phases. And so what draws you to do a workshop on the moon?
Well, one of the reasons I decided to do that rather than talk about auras or something else is that it's the Women of Wisdom Conference, you know. And I really love the theme of it this year, and I love the fact that this is going to be my very first Women of Wisdom Conference as a presenter. And I really wanted to tie into the natural cycles of women, that something that we tune into every day anyway. But I call it Luna's Embrace because our relationship with the moon and her phases really embraces our everyday reality. We are a very high percentage of water, right? And so this is a water planet, and the moon and its phases. You know, for instance, right now it's a new moon. In a couple of hours it's going to be a new moon. And the new moon, the tides are very, very extreme. I was looking at the tides of a beach nearby where I live here, and it's way out. And so it affects the tides. It pulls and tugs on the waters of the planet, and it also pulls and tugs on our own beings and our own bodies being so comprised of water. In fact, our brain, just the brain itself, I think it's something like 90% or more water. Our bones, which seem so darn solid, I think it's something like 30 or so percent water. Our muscles, maybe 70%. So we are water, and it does affect us in our own tidal flow and our own moods and how we treat life. The farmers around the world also respect the moon phases. And so the new moon is a great time to plant seeds. And the full moon is a wonderful time to harvest. So when I do new moon ceremonies or full moon ceremonies, I honor that fact that the farmers around the world, I mean, it doesn't matter what society you're in, usually if they are attuned to the moon, they do their planting and putting the seeds into the ground where the new moon can have its effect, and then harvest during the full moon, because the full moon offers a spotlight. You know, it's just really bright and it's glowing up there and it just shines a light on what we've seeded. Whereas the new moon, apparently, to our eyes, is in the dark. We don't see it. And just like planting those seeds in the dirt, we don't see them. So I just feel it. I've just always been very fascinated with that, you know, and how much it really affects our everyday lives.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, some of us, a lot of times we're unconscious about this. And so, and bringing it, like doing a workshop on it, to become more sensitive. So you're saying new moon today. Well, I just wonder if that's why I didn't sleep last night.
It could very well be, although for a lot of people, the full moon is the time, you know, because it's almost like a second daylight. The moon's very bright, and they claim they don't sleep very well. And it tugs on us in a different way, and it shines a spotlight. New moon, though, is all about the unconscious, and it's all about going deeper. And so it definitely could have had an effect on your sleep. Maybe you're working on something. And so what I would suggest to you and to everybody that's listening, that this new moon and every new moon is a really good time to get clear about your intentions, maybe for the next month, and write them down. It's a really great time to plant those seeds. And it's a really good time to get clear about what you're planting. Are you planting carrots? Are you planting cabbage? You know, because by the time the full moon comes along and it's time to harvest, or the full moon, you know, shines bright on everything, the full moon's going to let you know, hey, this is what you've planted and this is what you've tended to. This is what you've paid attention to. Is that what you still want? So now is a really good time to get clear. And sometimes that promotes, I don't know about you, but maybe this has something to do with it also. When I'm kind of in confusion or I'm between things or I don't know what I want to do, you know, that creates sleepless nights. So maybe you're in between things. You know, maybe you're trying to figure something out and so the new moon, allow that energy to help you get clear and focus and plant those seeds and those
intentions.
Yeah, it's
great. And that clarity is very important. And that's like my speaker was talking to before. We were talking about spirit and leadership was about listening within. And that's where you get those answers about, you know, getting clear about, okay, what do I want to plant? And sometimes sharing with other people and getting feedback, but you got to start with yourself first.
Absolutely. Well, and the new moon, you know, it's dark. It's dark without streetlights. It's really dark out there. There is no guiding light. So it's a very good time to go inside into your own internal cave of creation and get some clarity again about what
that makes
you're
me
creating.
Think because and you're out there where there is probably more dark living further north of Seattle in a small town in Seattle, you know, we tend in cities, we tend to have less of that new moon, the darkness, because there's so much street
sure.
lights that we get that impact
yeah.
us.
Yeah. And so in our modern day world, when you see the earth from space at night, wow. It's very pretty, all that light. But it's also, in a way, an incredible way to disconnect from the phases of the moon or from the constellations and the way, or even the way the sun is tugging at us, because a lot of us have indoor jobs, you know, and we have artificial lighting, and then we have the artificial lighting, of course, on the streets and et cetera. And as wonderful as it is, and, you know, it keeps us safe and et cetera, et cetera, it also can be a disconnect. So what I try to do is I try to then bring ritual into people's lives. And so something like a new moon ceremony every month, or even into my own life, no matter where I am, whether it's a bright city place or a place in the country, the least that I can do to connect with nature's rhythms is to do some kind of a ritual or a ceremony. At the minimum, I always during the new moon, seed my intentions for
yes,
the month.
Yes, that's great. Well, we're going to take a short break now.
Okay.
We're going to come back and talk more with Elka McCartney about modern shamanism.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
The 24th Annual WOW Conference, United We Change the World, is February 11th through the 15th. Featured guests are Dr. Christine Page on Creative Dragon Energy. Dr. Susan Shumsky will show you how to awaken your third eye. And Mira Kelly will present a two-day intensive workshop on Beyond Past Lives. Join WOW for intimate, experiential, life-changing workshops and evening presentations that will inspire you. You can choose two half-day workshops and receive one half-day workshop for free through December 31st. Join a supportive community of women on their journey to discover and develop their passions and purpose in life. Women of Wisdom is the place to be. This February 11th through the 15th, go to thewowconference.org. That's the W-O-W conference.org to discover all the diverse offerings WOW has to offer you.
What are vibes? We often use this word, but did you know vibes can actually be useful and help solve our everyday challenges? Embark on an exciting learning journey with Caitlin Keat, 11-time Visionary Award winner, specialist in vibrational energy, and the creator of Vibes Up. Join Caitlin as she takes you through the world of vibrational therapy and energy healing with natural solutions for a modern world. Visit vibesup.com to learn more today.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. So I'm talking with Reverend Elka McCartney, and we've been talking about Luna and all the moon phases and how it impacts us, and we're going to now kind of move into what's a modern shaman. However, first, Elka, why don't you give your website information where people can find out more about what you do?
You bet. My website, I have two addresses now, but the one that you can connect with at this current time is inspirationu, and that's letter U, dot com, inspirationu.com. And sometime next week, there's going to be elkaspage.com. And there you can see, on both of those websites, you can see all my workshops to come, including at the Wonderful Wow Conference, as well as all the things that I do, and aura readings, and spiritual counseling, and so forth. So,
and I imagine you do some of those by phone.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
So anybody
I do,
can reach you.
I do all that kind of thing by phone. You bet.
Yep. Okay, so you call yourself a modern, I don't know if you, I always pronounce it a different way, shaman. What's the difference between, how is that different to being a traditional shaman?
Well, in traditional societies, and I mean even societies that are no longer in existence, so for instance, the societies of the ancient peoples in what is now Europe and in Siberia, or what is now known as Siberia, and other places on the planet where there are no longer tribal societies or indigenous societies that really use nature as their guide. In those traditional societies, and includes Native Americans and Native Africans, and et cetera, a shaman is often born into the role and therefore and recognized as such that that is that woman or that guy's role as a shaman, as a healer. And so there gets, therefore gets the training. Nowadays, it is sad in one way that, there are modern shamans being born every day, but there is no way for them to get the training from their particular society necessarily. But I'm wanting to very respectfully bring the word shaman to modern times, because I really do feel that modern shamans are everywhere and that we can use shamanic practices from all over the planet into our everyday lives. And so to me, the word shaman actually means a walker between the worlds or a weaver of the worlds. And so that would be the world of spirit and the world of matter, or the world of heaven or the universe and earth. The shaman, the modern shaman, walks between those worlds, and very naturally, very easily, makes no delineation between a spiritual world or, I'm having a spiritual moment right now, and the material world, our everyday 3D reality. Modern shamans just easily, everything is spiritual. Let's just put it that way. To me, everything is spiritual and is a spiritual moment, no matter what it is. If I'm taking a walk, if I'm doing the dishes, if I'm visiting with a client. I had a hysterectomy about 20 years ago. I treated that as a spiritual event. I did ceremony beforehand and after, so everything becomes spiritual to the modern shaman.
And how do you find, just because everybody has kind of different definitions of spiritual?
Well, Yeah, that's a really great question, and I heard you ask a similar thing to your previous guest, Pat, and I like that she delineated, or maybe you delineated, between spiritual and religious, because I think there is a little bit of a delineation. Religion is a focused spirituality. But to me, the world of spirit is the world that contains our materiality. And so I also feel that we are animated by spirit, that we are spiritual beings that happen to be in the form of humans. But again, getting back to the shamans around the world and indigenous people and the people who acknowledge nature more as a part of spirit, So spirit is in everything. It animates. It fills, and it is a kind of an umbrella or even a baseline for our everyday reality. I feel that we also are not just humans, but human beings. You know, we have that term in English, and so I think it's that being part that it can also equal our spiritual part. But we're both. We're both the material and the spiritual, or the human and the being.
Yeah, and it's important, I think, particularly now for people to live in that duality, to embrace and know what that spirit part of us is. Because the world is so focused on the outside now and the material and you know, the physical things. And there's an over attention towards that in the media and in the world versus, and so there's that, instead of looking within, there's that always looking outside and getting the external, you know, which is that physical world, and not a lack of understanding of the importance of the two.
Yeah, absolutely. Because to me, the basis of the universe and everything in it is consciousness. It's not materiality, it's consciousness. And so consciousness contains it all, the spiritual, the material. And so if we're both, then let's live with both. You know, let's really know that our every word, our every action has an energetic effect, has a vibrational effect, is a spiritual act. If we're more aware of that, so for instance, you know, getting back to the moon and honoring nature's natural rhythms and phases, if we do that and we incorporate that into our everyday lives, I feel that we are more whole in our being. You know, I think we'll feel better, frankly.
Yeah, you know, so true. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Elka.
You're so very welcome.
Yeah, and everybody, look for her workshop at Woman of Wisdom. It's Sunday, February 14th in the afternoon. It's called Luna's Embrace, Gifts of the Moon's Phases, and learn a lot more about what she was talking about and how we can bring the moon phases into our lives and spirit into our lives. And all this is happening at the 24th Annual Woman of Wisdom Conference. Just go to thewowconference.org and check out. Sometimes we have specials during the month. Something may be coming up towards the end of the month. I'm not sure. We sort of like to throw things out there. The event is February 11th to the 15th. It's at North Seattle College. Very easy place to get to, just right off the freeway by Northgate in the north end of Seattle. You can register for a weekend package. You can register for individual events. Just come to Elka's workshop, Patty's workshop. We've been talking today. I have a workshop too, also on Sunday, the same time as Elka's. I won't be able to go to hers. And anyway, also you can just come in the door and sit in the ambiance. It doesn't cost to come in the door. We have a goddess market. We have a temple. Elka's doing readings at the temple, doing aura readings and drawings, and a woman's art show, and you know, have a cup of tea and meet people. You just hang out. That's the best part of WOW, is just making those connections. So I hope to see you in February. Well, I'm we're done with our hour. I'm so glad that you were able to be listening to the show today. And I wish everybody a great weekend, and we'll be back next Friday.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.